special favor of Allah. Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul. Holy Allah. Holy Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah. Wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Nabiyallah. Wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurallah. Viewers of Madri Channel, welcome to this series of programs, Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And in this series of programs, we learn from our rich heritage so that we can make a change today so that we can have a better tomorrow. And inshallah, azawajal, today we're going to talk about specific types of people. Specific types of people and the value in Islam and how through generations these specific people have been coming in every generation, and it's through them that Islam has got to us today. And we need to appreciate those people and realize the importance of those people. Who are those people? Inshallah, azawajal, could talk about them a little bit later. But first we begin by giving you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam is reported to have said, adorn your gatherings by reciting Durood upon me, because your recitation of Durood upon me will be noor, a light for you on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, we keep on saying this. Please make a habit. Make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. Put a time aside during the day. Allocate a time. And I remember meeting someone that he would allocate the time they used to go to work and come back from work. And he said, I used to travel to work and it was a 1.5 hour journey there and a 1.5 hour journey back. And rather than listening to the radio or listening to the rent, I'd have a target of Wazayf and Urad and Durood-e Pak that I would recite. And I would recite them all the way there and I would recite them all the way back. He's not wasted his time. And I think a lot of us viewers on the channel, we waste time. And our time should never be, whenever we're waiting things for happen, we're waiting for a job, we're waiting to see the doctor, we're waiting to see the dentist. All of this waiting time should never be wasted time. And the best way to utilize that time is by sending Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. And I've said it before, viewers on the channel, but who knows, that one extra Durood-e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the day of judgment. Viewers of the channel, on Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow, today we're going to talk about the scholars, the virtue of the scholars of the Deen of Islam, or the scholars of Islam, their importance, their significance, and what weight they hold in our standing, and how we need to respect them, how we need to support them. What is the value in the community today? People, unfortunately, when you look at a scholar nowadays, the imam of the masjid, the mulana sahab, the imam sahab, whatever. To be honest, the respect that they are due, we do not give them because we do not understand their status and their value in society. Allah Hazrat Imam al-Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullah ta'ala, states, Shaitan, he keeps a rein of a weak thread on a Sufi who has no knowledge. And it's stated after Asr Salah, the Shaitans gathered at a sea where the throne of Iblis, Shaitan, was set and the performance of the evil activities of the shaitans were presented. One shaitan said, I have made many people drink alcohol today. Another said, I have made many people commit adultery today. So all such evil activities were heard, and one by one, all of these shaitans said that this is what we've done today, this is what we've done today, this is what we've done today. In the meantime, one shaitan said, today I prevented so and so student from seeking Islamic knowledge. Allahu Akbar. Upon hearing this, the heart of Iblis leaped and he hugged him and he said, I, only you have done an incredible job. Seeing this, the other shaitans, they grew jealous because they were not appreciated despite their big task. Despite what they had done, they'd made people drink alcohol, they'd made people commit adultery, they'd made people commit murder, thieving, lying, cheating, all sorts of things that they'd made people do. Yet Iblis was not happy at any of these. But he showed happiness when one shaitan said, today I stopped a student from acquiring the knowledge of the deen. Observing the expressions, Iblis said, you do not know that all your achievements are because of him, the one who has prevented the student from gaining Islamic knowledge. If people had Islamic knowledge, they would not have committed the sin. Allahu Akbar. Tell me, which is that place? Tell me the place where the greatest scholar is, where the greatest worshipper who is not a scholar lives, as well as an Islamic scholar lives there. He said, take me to a place where there is a great worshipper there, and there's also a great scholar there. And they mentioned the name of a place. Early in the morning, before sunrise, Iblis, along with the shaitans, reached that place. The shaitans, they hid themselves, whereas Iblis, he presented himself in the form of a human being. And he said to the person who had just performed his tahajjud salat, and he was going towards the masjid for fajr salat, Iblis requested him. He said, honorable man, I have a question for you. And the worshipper said, ask quickly, I have to perform my salah. Iblis took out a bottle from his pocket, and he humbly asked, does Allah Azza wa Jalla have the power to put all of the skies and the earths into this small bottle? Now the worshipper, he thought for a while, and he said, there is a world of difference between both of them. Iblis said, that is all I wanted to ask. You may leave. Thereafter, Iblis turned to his shaitans and said, see, I have destroyed the faith of this worshipper. He does not even have faith in the power of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now his acts of worship have been rendered futile. As it came close to sunrise, the Islamic scholar appeared coming hastily. Iblis said to him, honorable man, I have a question for you. And he said, okay, ask me the question. You know, I want to read my namaz. And the Islamic scholar said, I don't have time. But Iblis said to him, no, it'll only take a few moments. And shaitan again repeated the same question. He put out the bottle. And he said that, does Allah Azza wa Jalla have the power to put all the skies and the earth into the small bottle? Now hearing this, the Islamic scholar replied, oh, the accursed one, you seem to be Iblis. You seem to be shaitan. Allah Azza wa Jalla has such a great power that he can put millions of skies and earth even into the hole of a needle, let alone such a big bottle. Allahu Akbar. And this, viewers of Madri Channel, is the difference between someone that has the knowledge of the deen and someone that just acts. You know, we read our namaz, well, even then, not all of us read our namaz, but those of us that are fortunate that read our namaz, but we don't have this knowledge, we don't have the knowledge of our beliefs, then we can be tricked easily by shaitan. Whereas a scholar, when someone comes and asks these questions, he will be able to recognize that this is the whisper of shaitan. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, with regards to that event, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, explain that kind of event, he says, in Surah Baqarah, ayah 20, undoubtedly, Allah Azza wa Jalla can do anything. The scholar replied to shaitan, undoubtedly, Allah Azza wa Jalla can do anything that he wishes. And this is the belief that we need to have, but unless we have that knowledge, viewers of Madrasah, then we can also come a crop and fall to the tricks of shaitan. And this is why we need these scholars, viewers of Madrasah, so they can explain these things to us. They can enable us, empower us to protect ourselves from the whispers of shaitan. But the thing is, viewers of Madrasah, we will only respect the scholars. We will only understand the value of the scholars when we understand the value of our iman. Because it's the scholars that protect our iman, but if we have no value for our iman, then we'll have no value for the scholars. You know, people that maybe they've got, a cheap car, an old car, you know, they don't bother locking it. It has no value. Who's going to steal it? So they don't bother locking it. Yeah? If there's, you know, you see people in poor places, you know, in small villages that where they have small houses, they don't put locks on the doors because there's nothing there to steal. And so they do not protect what little belongings they have because there's no value. But very rarely do you see someone that has a huge mansion in which he knows there's safes inside, the gold inside, the diamonds inside there, or he has an expensive car and he doesn't lock it. He doesn't lock his house. This doesn't happen. Because then when he has got something that's of value, he'll try and protect it. But the problem is, viewers of the channel, we don't value our iman. We don't value our iman, and because of that, we don't try and protect it. You know, if someone was to say to you that if you saw a person walking down the street with 20 pound notes in his hand and there was a wind and he's not even got his hand closed and he's got his hand like that, what would you say to him? You say, oh, foolish one, do you not know that you're going to lose all of this money? A little bit of a breeze and you lose your money? Viewers of Madri Channel, unfortunately, that's what we're doing with our iman. We're walking down with our street, we don't even close our hands. We do nothing to protect our iman. And a little bit of breeze, a little bit of the whisper of shaitan comes, and our iman will disappear. We need to learn to protect our iman. We need to know those things that can enable us to protect our iman. We need to know about those things that can cause a bad end. And what is a bad end? A bad end to your life is that you die, not die in a hospital or die here or die there or whatever, or you get killed or whatever. That's not a bad end. A bad end is if you die without your iman. Now, what are the things, views of militia, that can cause you to lose your iman? We don't know these things. What do we know about halal and haram? We don't know these things. How do we know what is right and wrong if we do not have these scholars? So we need to be very wary of this and aware of this, that the fact that these scholars are passing down the sacred knowledge. You could call it the sacred knowledge that started with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's been passed down through generation and generation and generation. And that knowledge that has been passed down with the iman of Islam. And it's because of that knowledge, because of that iman, that I am sat here today and you are watching this program today. It is because of that we are Muslims. If that knowledge had been lost, if astaghfirullah, the knowledge of the Quran or any of this knowledge had been lost, if there were no scholars there, the Quran was moved away from us, I would not be sat here today. So that transmission of knowledge in the form of the scholars, in the form of the hafiz, in the form of all of these people that have brought this knowledge down to us, 1400 years of a sacred line of transmission that has enabled us today to be able to say that we are the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Viewers of the channel, we're going to just take a small break, and I'm hoping after the break we'll have Shabazz Madani with us. We've got a kalam for you today, inshaAllah. So let's go to the kalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Bakht-e khufta ne mujhe roze pe jaane na diya. Bakht-e khufta ne mujhe roze pe jaane na diya. Chashmo dil si ne kale se lagane na diya. Waqt-e khufta ne mujhe roze pe jaane na diya. Aah qismat, aah qismat, mujhe duniya ke ghamon ne roka. Aah qismat, mujhe duniya ke ghamon ne roka. Haaye taqdeer ke taiba mujhe jaane na diya. Haaye taqdeer ke taiba mujhe jaane na diya. Pakde huwe le jaate jo taiba mujhko. Haath pakde huwe le jaate jo taiba mujhko. Saath itna bhi to mere rufqa ne na diya. Saath itna bhi to mere rufqa ne na diya. Waqt-e khufta ne mujhe roze pe jaane na diya. Chashmo dil si ne kaleje se lagane na diya. Waqt-e khufta ne mujhe roze pe jaane na diya. Sharbat-e deed ne aur aag laga di dil mein. Sharbat-e deed ne aur aag laga di dil mein. Tapish-e dil ko badhaya اے بجھانے نہ دیا، تپش دل کو بڑھایا ہے بجھانے نہ دیا، چشم و دل سینے کلیجے سے لگانے نہ دیا، بخت خفتانے مجھے روز پہ جانے نہ دیا، اب کہاں جائے گا نقشہ تیرا میرے دل سے، اب کہاں جائے گا نقشہ تیرا میرے دل سے، تہ میں رکھا ہے اسے دل نے گمانے نہ دیا، تہ میں رکھا ہے اسے دل نے گمانے نہ دیا، چشم و دل سینے کلیجے سے لگانے نہ دیا، بخت خفتانے مجھے روز پہ جانے نہ دیا، نفس بدکار نے دل پر یہ قیامت توڑی، نفس بدکار نے دل پر یہ قیامت توڑی، عمل نیک کیا بھی تو چھپانے نہ دیا، عمل نیک کیا بھی تو چھپانے نہ دیا، بخت خفتانے مجھے روز پہ جانے نہ دیا، چشم و دل سینے کلیجے سے لگانے نہ دیا، بخت خفتانے مجھے روز پہ جانے نہ دیا، میرے اعمال کا بدلہ تو جہنم ہی تھا، میرے اعمال میرے اعمال میرے اعمال کا بدلہ تو جہنم ہی تھا، میں تو جاتا مجھے سرکار نے جانے نہ دیا، میں تو جاتا مجھے سرکار نے جانے نہ دیا، بخت خفتانے مجھے روز پہ جانے نہ دیا، چشم و دل سینے کلیجے سے لگانے نہ دیا، بخت خفتانے مجھے روز پہ جانے نہ دیا، اور چمکتی سی غزل کوئی پڑھو اے نوری، اور چمکتی سی غزل کوئی پڑھو اے نوری، رنگ اپنا ابھی جمنے شعرا نے نہ دیا، رنگ اپنا ابھی جمنے شعرا نے نہ دیا، بخت خفتانے مجھے روز پہ جانے نہ دیا، چشم و دل سینے کلیجے سے لگانے نہ دیا، بخت خفتانے مجھے روز پہ جانے نہ دیا،
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of my channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And today we're talking about the virtue of the scholars. Which scholars? The scholars of Islam. And like I said, these scholars of Islam, from the time of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through the generations, these scholars are passed on this sacred knowledge, and it's because of them that we have the deen of Islam preserved with us today. Shabazz Madani is with us, and Shabazz Madani, mashallah, he has graduated from our Jamaat al-Madinah here in the UK. Jamaat al-Madinah here in the UK for the brothers is a 6-year course, for the sisters it is a 5-year course. And before I spoke to Shabazz, but I just let you know that here in the UK, we have Jamaat al-Madinah for brothers in London, in Stratford, London, Luton, Birmingham, Leicester, Blackburn, Rochdale and Bradford. And for the sisters, we have London, Birmingham, Blackburn, Bury and Bradford. I'm testing my memory, so I'm not that old, yes. But alhamdulillah, we have them. Jamaat al-Madinah is here for the brothers and the sisters. The brothers is a 6-year course. The sisters is a 5-year course. Without further ado, Shabazz bhai, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Shabazz bhai, we're talking about the virtue of scholars. And one question that's come to my mind, because you know, obviously, you can understand the need for scholars through the generations, how we've had these scholars coming through, and it's because of them. But nowadays, it's the internet age. It's the age of social media. It's the age of digital media. And, you know, basically, I can go on the internet, type in a question, and, you know, I'll get an answer. So you're a scholar. You're a Madani, mashallah. You graduated from our Jamaat al-Madinah. People will be saying now, why do we need the scholars? You know, the knowledge is there. The knowledge is now preserved, yeah? And it's on the internet for there. All the books are there. All the books that we need have been written. If they hadn't been written, then how did they manage in the past? So all the books are there. All the knowledge is there. Everything's there. Why do we need these scholars?
Firstly, Khalibah, very, very important point. And this is not with modesty that I say this, but rather, it's a reality. I am not a scholar. Because, you see, to a lot of people, I may seem like one just because I've studied the Dars-e Nizami course. And may Allah Ta'ala make me amongst the scholars. But this is without modesty. And this is why, alhamdulillah, within the mahal of Dawud Islami, we have a term as Madani. Why? Because the reality is we are not scholars. Alhamdulillah, we are students. Now, this question of yours, Khalid, by a brilliant question. I think there's a few ways to tackle this. One is that you mentioned, you know, we have the internet. Everything is on the internet. So firstly, there had to be somebody to put you on the internet. Without the people who had the knowledge, you wouldn't be on the internet. Secondly, it's now on the internet, but it's been transferred to the internet. To the internet from where? It's been transferred to the internet from the books. The information is there, it's in the books, it's on the internet. But what makes you think that anybody is able to access it? Anybody is able to interpret it? Your question, why do we need scholars? It's a brilliant question. Again, even this, we could look at it from many different perspectives. One, why do you need doctors? Why do you need any other sort of professionals? Secondly, Khalid bhai, in that, let's just say we don't need scholars. Let's remove the scholars. Now put all the scholars to a side. What do we have? We have this deen, we have this religion. Now we don't have scholars to teach the religion. You must understand, Khalid bhai, it's not only the information within the books, but there's also other sciences, the ilmi ladun, some things which have been granted with, you know, inspiration. Some people have been inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just teaching, it's not just saying particular phrases, but rather how to say it also, when to say it, when not to say it. So there's a lot more than just the information itself. Otherwise, anybody could just look at the Quran, anybody could look at the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it requires somebody to teach that. And as we said, if you were to remove the scholars, what do we have? We have this deen, but soon this religion will end. It will. If there's nobody to teach a religion, nobody understanding the religion, then religion will no longer remain there. Some people may say, yes, but if an entire nation thinks something's right, but even we've seen entire nations committing wrongdoings. So we require something from the one and only being, from that being who is eternal. And that is in the form of the Quran that was given through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed it on. And who did he pass it on to? This is the ulama. That's why they say that the ulama'a warasatul anbiya, that it is the scholars who are the inheritors of the prophets. And this is only in terms of this world. Khalid, even in the hereafter, even in the akhirah, we will require the ulama that when the day of resurrection occurs, يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى للعابدين والمجاهدين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to those people who were worshippers. So they were not spreading knowledge, but they would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's say they spend the entire night worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, والمجاهدين, and also those people who strived in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to them people, ادخلوا الجنة, that you people go to Jannah. And the ulama, they will say, فيقول العلماء, that Ya Allah, that is only from our knowledge that they worshipped you. It is only from our knowledge that we taught them that they strived in your path. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall say that you to me, the scholars, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall address them, you to me are like my angels. Ishfa'u tashfa'u. That I'm not only just going to send you into Jannah, but first, ishfa'u. You intercede for others. So the scholars won't just go into Jannah, but they'll also intercede for others, and they'll take others into Jannah with them. So the scholars play a huge role in our lives. Really a huge role. And yes, we must appreciate this.
The question, Shabazz Bhai, is, and maybe you've come across this as well, that unfortunately in today's society, maybe, all right, you know, when you're in the environment of Dawah Islamiyah that you're in, mashallah, within this environment, you know, the scholars are appreciated, the scholars are respected, the teachers are greatly respected as well. But once you get out to this bubble, we're talking about bubbles nowadays, once you get out this bubble of, let's say, Dawah Islamiyah, and you get out into the wider world, so to speak, you see that scholars don't have that respect that you're talking about. You know, you see a complete different, a different world in effect, that, you know, people think that, what are the scholars there for? They're just there to, oh, they read the namaz, they read the namaz janazah, they teach our children how to read the Quran, and that's their job done, that's all they're there for. And so as you see outside in society, generally speaking, that the scholars are not respected. The scholars are not given good salaries, they're not given good jobs, they're not looked up to as in the same way where, you know, like, mashallah, you did a six-year degree, or when a doctor does a six-year degree, or a lawyer, an accountant, a barrister studies for 6 years, an engineer, I studied for 4 years. You know, you get more respect in them fields than you would get in the wider society, I'm saying, than you would be as a scholar. Why is that as well? Why is it that we don't value the scholars? Why is it we don't respect the scholars? And why is it that, you know, scholars are, rather than scholars being like, you know, the head of the leaders of our society, you know, respectively, what happens is in the masjid that the committee members push them down, and they're disgraced, they're not respected at all, they're looked down upon. And this is generally, we're seeing that. I'm not saying it's everywhere like this. I'm not saying that every masjid is like this. I'm not saying every scholar is like this. But generally speaking, in the wider society, scholars are not looked upon in the way that you have just mentioned now. And that is another question.
One thing, Khalid Bhai, is this is very, very important. This, alhamdulillah, we can take an example from Imam Ahl Sunnah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Imam Ahl Sunnah, we said he is an Islamic scholar, but we've not only called him a scholar. He's not only a scholar within the Islamic sciences, but rather he's what is known as a polymath, a person who is a master in various sciences. And this is not only the Islamic one, but rather, you know, you name the sciences, I'll say he's a master in that science, whatever you mean. Now, nowadays, Khalid Bhai, the Muslim world, and there used to be a time when others used to come towards, you know, towards Spain. You know, it was a center of education. They would come to Iraq, they would come to Baghdad, they would come to seek knowledge from the Muslims, because the Muslims were well established. Now, there are a few things from this, Khalid Bhai. There are a few things. One thing which is very, very important, is you can say that as a whole, Muslims distance themselves from the Quran and the Sunnah. Because whilst we had the Quran and the Sunnah, whilst we were steadfast with the Quran and the Sunnah, we had everybody coming towards us. But nowadays, we have more of an interest in secular education. Now, I'm not saying that it holds no importance. No, that's, you know, I'm not saying that whatsoever. It has a great importance. But we must be able to understand that first, Islamic sciences, Islamic teachings are given preference over those. As we mentioned, Imam Ali Sunnah is a beautiful example because he told us that, yes, you can gain secular education too, and its importance. So nowadays we're in a world where science is taking lead, but sadly we are behind in science, and this is because we've not gone into those fields. So we need to strive in every field, but we must remember that firstly, and what's given preference is our own religion, our own deen. This is what we need to give importance to. And other reasons for this, Khalid Bhai, could be that scholars are given, you know, wrong connotations are attached to Muslim scholars. And there's reasons for this, Khalid Bhai, which, and ultimately, this is what will happen. Because they said that towards the Day of Judgment, the scholars will be taken away, knowledge of Islam will be taken away. So this is ultimately inevitable. It is going to take place. But one thing we need to understand, and this is what Mufti Qasim Sahib said to me, Khalid Bhai, that I remember asking him, we asked him, you know, about the Day of Judgment. Everybody thinks, when will the Day of Judgment be? You know, the times must be close. Khalid Bhai, you must yourself think, look, there's these signs. And Mufti Sadr was saying that it could be a million years from now. It could be. What makes you think that things can't get better? Mm-hmm. What makes you think that we as Muslims, we can't get better? It's not, you know, something which is impossible. It's something which is possible. So don't think about that. Don't think about that. You should think about today. What are you doing today to change things? What are you doing today to help your religion? This is a question we must ask.
People have this mindset that, oh, if you become a scholar, you'll never earn money. You'll be starving. You'll struggle all your life. You know, you'll have a begging bowl, and that's how you're going to live your life. Because people have this mindset that it's not the career. It's not a career choice. It's not a path that you need to go in, that you can be in any way. You know, people say, okay, we understand that if you become a scholar, you're preparing for the hereafter, X, Y, Z. But at the same time, you have to live in this world. You have to pay the bills. You have to, you know, put fuel in the car. You have to pay the household gas, electricity, utility bills. All these need to be paid. How can you possibly pay that? And mashallah, you're still alive, aren't you, Shabazz? Well, you're all right. You're a bit hungry now, but you're still eating and drinking and sleeping and paying the bills, aren't you?
One thing we need to understand, and this is something which is very difficult, Khalid Bhai, that what we most really, really understand, and it's very, very hard to understand this. Honestly, it's easy to say, and I'm going to say it, but it's very hard to understand that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives us our rizq. And Khalid Bhai, this is something which is Allahu Akbar, but think about this. There was a very, very old lady who says that I've lived many, many years. No, this old lady would say, I've lived many, many years, very, very old. Up until now, I've never seen a rich person who was truly satisfied. And I've never met a poor person who does not get food to eat.
Allah.
And this is something which, honestly, really, really hit me, Khalid Bhai. Mufti Qasim Sahib said to us that whilst they were studying, there were other students who were always wondering, you know, what are we going to do? This was even before they entered Dawat Islami. That what is it that we are going to do? Where are we going to work? You know, we must teach here. We must teach there. Maybe we can earn a little bit of money. And Mufti Sahib said that his teacher said to him that, son, do not worry about money. Money will come to you. Yes. You just continue studying. And he says, you don't understand how true this is. That right now I'm in such a situation that, alhamdulillah, I have no worries for money. I have no worries. And this is exactly, this is not something which can easily be said, Khalid Bhai. But it is, you know, and yes, there's no harm in living in luxury. And you can also become a, you know, you could also have a job and become a businessman. Nothing's stopping this. As we've mentioned, scholars previously, it'll get a little too long if I do go into that, where people were really rich and they were Islamic, they were scholars, they were imams.
Jazakallah for your time, Shabazz Bhai. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla always keep you happy as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Viewers of the channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And there was a lot of, I learned a lot from Shabazz Madri then. I learned a lot of things that he mentioned. And one thing that stuck out was when he was talking about the beginning, when we were talking about the need of scholars and we were talking about, you know, and I asked him the question that, you know, we've got the internet now, all the books are written. If we needed any more books, they would have been written before. We've got all these things there. And, you know, he said that, okay, you need someone to put them on the internet, but you don't need a scholar to put the book on the internet. The books are there. The books can be, you know, I'm not a scholar. I could like PDF them and put them on the internet. I can do all them things. But one thing he mentioned, and it's true, that you need a scholar to be able to understand that. And if you use the analogy that you don't need the scholars because the books are there, you don't need the scholars because, you know, the internet is there, then shut down all the universities. Shut down all the schools. Shut down every educational establishment because you don't need it because the books are already written. And we understand from that view, as I mentioned, that although knowledge is there, without those people that can explain that knowledge to you, you will not be able to understand it. And I remember I picked up a scholarly book once, and I'm not going to mention the name of the book, but I started reading it, and literally I started getting a headache. I was reading this book, and I was reading, and after a couple of pages, I'm getting a headache, because normally you can pick up a book, and within half an hour, I can read 20 pages, 30 pages, maybe even more, and I can continue reading it. But I was reading this book, and I probably even started the second page, and I'm getting a headache, thinking, because you know when you don't understand something, and you repeat it again, and you repeat it again, and you repeat it again, I'm thinking, oh, you know what, I don't understand it. And that's why you need the scholars to be able to explain that to you. Because if you don't have them scholars there to explain it to you, you will get the wrong interpretation of it, and you'll have the wrong action as a result of it. And maybe as a result of that, of not fully understanding that, then ultimately you're making halal haram and you're committing all sorts of sins. And I remember Amir al-Sunnah mentioning when he talks about the Madri Muzakas that take place on Saturday nights where the questions and answers are being asked. And he said that you need to listen to these questions and answers attentively, because if you lose your concentration for 1 second, then the answer that will stick in your mind could be the wrong answer. And you'll act upon that answer. And rather than committing good, you'll be committing sin. So knowledge you need to spend time to understand it. And that's why we have the scholars. They are there. They are the patrons that are there to protect our iman. They are those to impart that knowledge upon us. Otherwise, like we rightly said, if we didn't need the scholars to pass on this knowledge to us, let alone, you know, leading the namaz, let alone performing all the Islamic rituals, let alone, you know, Ramadan, itikaf, Eid, the madrasas, all these things, let alone all of them things. If we did not need them, if we use that analogy that we don't need them for the knowledge, because the knowledge is everywhere now, then shut down all the universities. And that is the answer to Dave Yuzum, inshallah. That's what we need. And at the same time, as he said, we need to respect them. And the reason why we don't respect them, scholars, is because we do not understand the value of them, scholars. We do not understand what sacrifices that they have made. And it's not an easy path to becoming a scholar. And I remember going to somebody, and I said that, you know, there's a student I know, and this student is getting, in the dreams that they're having, they're seeing on the path to the Jamia, they're seeing snakes, scorpions, and dogs there that are stopping them to go to the Jamia. And I asked this question to the scholar that this person's seeing them. And he said, are they really seeing them? Are they really seeing them? And all of a sudden from his tone of his voice, I realized that he didn't think I was talking about a dream. He thought I was talking about it in reality. And I said, no, it's in a dream. And he said, oh, well, that's normal. He said, you wait for the day where they actually see them in reality, because these snakes, these scorpions, these are all tricks of shaitan that the shaitan doesn't want you to go to the Jamia. The shaitan doesn't want that student to complete the knowledge of the deen. And he said to me, give a perfect example. He said, name me one scholar, one true scholar of Islam that's had it easy. And like we heard at the beginning, that shaitan, he has no problem. You know, it's easy for him to make someone an adulterer. It's easy for him to stop someone, to make people commit adultery and all these other sins that we talk about. But he's more happy when we see a student move away from the Jamia, move away from the knowledge of the deen. And today, unfortunately, we see it as well. We see that students come to the Jamia al-Madinah. Here in the UK, we've had people that have come. And after a short space of time, for whatever reason, they leave the Jamia. But these are all whispers of shaitan. So before I continue, we're going to take a small break now. But before I continue, one message I want to leave. That if you are a student in our Jamia al-Madinahs, and you're finding it hard, you're finding it difficult, especially, you know, they say the first year students will be finding it very difficult because it's complete new knowledges that you're learning, surf and off, and you're learning new terminologies that you've never heard before, and you're getting headaches on a daily basis. Basically, stick with it and never give up, because it is not easy to acquire this knowledge that you're getting, but just think how heavy you will be on the plan of shaitan. And just think what you can achieve on the akhirah. And as we heard from Shabazz Madani, that on the day of judgment, on that day, we will still need them scholars. And just think about how them scholars, how fortunate they will be that on the day of judgment, they will be allowed to enable people to enter into paradise. Allahu Akbar. And today we don't value them scholars. On that day, we'll be begging them, scholars. On that day, we'll be looking at them, scholars, with tears in our eyes, wishing that they look towards us, wishing that they spend one gaze on us, that they look at us in their eyes, and they favor us with their favors, and they take us into paradise. And with that in mind, viewers of the channel, we need to respect the scholars. And he mentioned the beautiful thing, and I've not heard it before, that he said that even if you give a glass of water to a scholar, then inshallah, you'll be rewarded on the Day of Judgment. So we need to understand the virtue and the status of the scholars. We're going to take a small break now, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit about the importance of knowledge, of acquiring the knowledge of the deen, inshallah, towards the end of the program. Let's just take a small break. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
One of the greatest names that we find in the history of Islam is the name of Sayyiduna Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Sayyiduna Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he had a daughter, and at a very tender age, his daughter, she passed away. It says that Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was so shocked and saddened by the death of his daughter that he sadly started to drink. That one night when Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi went to sleep, he saw in his dream that there was a huge snake that was chasing him. Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he was running for his life, and he came across an old man, and he gave him salam, and he says, "Please save me from this snake." And the old man replied that, "I'm powerless, I'm very weak, I don't have the power to save you from this snake." So Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, in his dream, he says that, "I started running again, and then I came across the same person whilst the snake was still chasing me." He says, "I asked him again, and again he refused because he was very weak." But the old man, he said that, "Go to that hill and look over the hill. Maybe there's someone there. Maybe you'll have a property there and they'll be able to help you." So Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he started running towards that hill. And as he went towards that hill, he saw these small little caves with windows on. And as soon as he went on top of the hill, he heard a voice that, "Open all the windows. Maybe there is someone that can help him today." And as the windows opened, beautiful children came out of the windows. And he says that, "Suddenly I saw my young daughter who had passed away coming out of the window. And she shouted out, 'That is my father.' And she came running to Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi and hugged him. And with one hand, she asked the snake to move away from him. And the snake turned back." Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi asked his daughter that, "What are you doing here?" And the daughter, she replied that, "All the children that pass away, they all come here." And she read the verse of the Quran, "Alam ya'dini alladhina amanu an takhsha'a qulubuhum li dhikri Allahi wa ma nazala min al-haq." And this was the verse of the Quran that changed the destiny of Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was born on the 14th of Safar in Basra in Iraq. He was a tabi'in, yani he was at the time of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, and listened to many ahadith by the great sahabi Sayyiduna Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and also Sa'id bin Jabir and Muhammad bin Sirin. He was the disciple and the student of Sayyiduna Hassan Basri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has narrated many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. And he lived a life of piety and taqwa and God-fearing, and became one of the greatest wali of his time. My dear Islamic brothers, when a person sincerely repents in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, not only do his sins be forgiven, but Allah Ta'ala will elevate that person's rank and status in this world and in the hereafter. There are a few wise sayings of Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He says that people have left the world but not tasted the best thing in the world. It was asked, "What is that?" And Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi replied, "The knowledge about Allah Azza wa Jal." Sayyiduna Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi passed away on the 14th of Safar, 130 Hijri, and his shrine is in Basra in Iraq. May Allah Azza wa Jal, for the sake of him, forgive our sins. May Allah Azza wa Jal, for the sake of Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi alayhi, give us the ability to read and understand the Quran so that we could change our lives also. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah. Viewers of the channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And again, MashaAllah, Hafiz Rafakadu talked another again about one of our pious predecessors and how we can learn from his life, make a change today for a better tomorrow. And I'm still, all the things that MashaAllah, the Madani pearls that Shabazz Madani gave me is still going through my mind, and there's so much that we can say about them. But I want to leave this program today with just some of the hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to acquiring the knowledge of the deen and the status of the scholars within Islam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that the superiority of an Islamic scholar over a worshipper is my superiority over a low rank ones of yours. He then said, Allah azza wa jal, his angels, creation of skies and the earth, even ants in the holes and fishes send durood upon the one who imparts knowledge, Islamic knowledge, to the people. This is the status of the scholars. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on the day of judgment, an Islamic scholar and a worshipper will be brought. The worshipper will be said, you enter paradise. Whereas the Islamic scholar will be said, you stop and intercede on behalf of those people you have improved their manners. Intercede for them and enable them to enter paradise. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed, Islamic scholars are the lights of the earth and the inheritors of the blessed prophets. You know, viewers of Inshallah, an incident took place once where somebody came out of the masjid and he said that the inheritance of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been distributed in the masjid. And some people ran into the masjid and then they came out a few moments later and they grabbed hold of that person and said, look, you said the inheritance was being distributed. You know, we didn't see anything. And he said to them, what did you see? And he said, all we saw in the masjid was some people who were sitting in the corner of the masjid. And there was a study circle there. They were teaching the Quran there. They were teaching the sunnahs there. And he said, that is the inheritance. That is the inheritance of the prophets. If we want to inherit anything from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then is the knowledge of the deen. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the day of judgment, the ink of the Islamic scholars and the blood of the martyrs will be weighed. And so their ink will overcome the blood of the martyrs. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Using the channel, we understand the status of, you know, martyrs in Islam, but the status of our scholars is so great. And you know, maybe you're watching me today and you're thinking to yourself, and I'm thinking as I'm talking to you, that as you get older, you think to yourself, that, you know what, I'm too old now to acquire the knowledge of the deen. And I remember our Jamatul Madina, mashallah, where Shabazz Madani graduated from, I went there. And I sat down with the students one day, and all the students were there. I'm just going to finish with this view of the channel. I was sitting down with all the students, and I started to ask the students, which town are you from? And they started telling me that these towns, and I thought to myself, inshallah, you know, in 4 years' time, in 5 years' time, in 3 years' time, depending on what year they were, they will go back to the communities, they will impart the knowledge of the deen, inshallah, we'll have madrasas there, we'll have jamias there, we'll have masjids there, and all these things will happen with them. And I was so impressed with them. I was so impressed with them, and I felt jealous. Yes, I felt jealous. And I said to them, you know what, I wish I was your age. Because they were all young students, teenagers or in the 20s, the latest was 30. I said, you know what, I wish I was your age. And they said, brother, don't worry, Khalid Bhai, you're not too old. I said, no, I'm too old now, I'm struggling. I said, no, you're never too old. And at that moment, one of our students, Nurubai, he walked into the room. And they said, brother, look at him. And all of my arguments have failed. MashaAllah, within Jamatul Madina Nurbai, I think he graduated at the age of 72. Yes, 72 years of age. So never think to yourself, oh, I'm too old to acquire the knowledge of the deen. I'm too old to be amongst those favorable personalities that are the scholars of the deen. So viewers of the channel, you've been watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. I'm just looking at the time. We're running out of time. Please respect the scholars of the deen and yourself acquire that knowledge of the deen that's going to protect your iman. Sit with the scholars, learn from the scholars. And not only that, as we said earlier on, that whatever knowledge you get, pass it on to others so that they can benefit as well. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah, Ali Allah. The universe is the body and its soul.